Okay, Shalom Aleichem everybody again. Very nice, thank you very much to Rabbi Aaron for inviting me to say a few words. And in the car we were discussing what would be the best topic. I was suggesting a topic of how to deal with irritating neighbours. He said, you all get on so well with each other, nobody irritates anybody. So that wouldn't be a terribly helpful topic. The trouble with that topic anyhow would have taken an hour and a half, and we've only got about 40 minutes. So we're in discussing with Rav Aaron, we decided we will take a topic, which is a lav d'oraisa, one of the Tariag mitzvahs, known as Onoas Devorim. Unfortunately, people are not aware enough as they should be. I mean, you're all aware that you're not allowed to eat pork, because that's chaza. You're all aware you're not allowed to wear shatnas, because that's osa. And you're all aware of many lavin, but unfortunately, when it comes to the lav of Onor, it's completely forgotten. Don't even know what it is. What's it all about? Well, we're going to have a quick look at it, and we're going to see whether we can improve ourselves and be mekayim this particular very difficult mitzvah. First of all, we'll start with the psukim. It's mentioned both in connection with a geir, a special psukim to get to deal with a geir, and it's mentioned to deal with ordinary Yisraelim. So let me see the pasuk. I'll give you a few references. It starts off in Parshas Mishpatim, chapter, can't really read it, looks like Chof Beis, pasuk Beis, the geir lo sona velo silchotzeno. A geir you must not do ono'o, nor must you be loichetz. Loichetz is lachatz, pressurize him. Zok Rashi, this is onoas devorim. The losone is onoas devorim. The losilchotzenu is begzelas momon. You can't cheat a geir. You mustn't take advantage of a geir and pressurize him because he's a geir and think you can take advantage of him and get more money out of him for some reason. Or, for example, if you were wanting to rent and you happen to know that the guy has got no mishpocha, no Jewish mishpocha to look after him, so you hike the price and you make him pay a higher rent just because he's a ger, that could be cheating a ger, and that's lo silchot senu. That's onoas momon. You mustn't cheat when it comes to money matters. But it's also a special pasuk, you're not allowed to do ono'o against the geir. And Rashi says, that means ono'as devorim, hurting his feelings. What's it mean? Well, it's well known, Rashi explains, in the Gemara, in Bar Metzia, it means, don't speak to him and tell him, oh, you behave like that because you come from a schmutzike background. Your background is goyim. Ah, you goy bister still. If you talk to a geir in that fashion, you are over a lav d'oraisa. You may as well go out and put chazer in your mouth, because it's the same thing. If you say to a geir in such a way that you hurt his feelings by saying that you're behaving like that because you're a geir, then you are over the lav d'oraisa. That's the simple pshat. Then we find in Parshas Kedoshim, chapter Yud Tes Pasuk Lamed Gimel, v'chi yogur itcho geir be'artzchem lo sonu oso. When a geir dwells with you in your land, don't cheat him, do not hurt his feelings. Zot Rashi, onoas devorim, loy soima loy. You mustn't say to him, emesh, that's last night, ha yiso oved avoda zola, now you think you're going to learn Torah. You mustn't talk to him like that. So the question is, why do we need so many psukim? So the simple answer is, it's so serious that the Torah gives you more than one laugh. You know, because of laugh in Harbe. The Gemara actually says that there's different things in the Gemara. Some say that it says 36 times not to hurt a geir. Another Gemara says, I think, 48 times. And the different mafreshim is exactly how you work out, they calculate the number of times it says specifically not to hurt a geir. Ki geirim ayisem, you were geirim once before in Egypt. And you shouldn't treat a geir badly. And there's all sorts of special rules for geirim. I'm just mentioning that because there's a special inyan of onor with geirim, and you'll see why in a second. Quite apart from the mitzvahs relating to geirim, we've got the same aveira relating to Yisraelim. Let's go further. In Parshas Behar, it says, v'chi simkru, when you sell your property or you sell your goods, if you're buying from somebody, al toinu ish es echo achiv, don't cheat each other. Zot Rashi, zu oinoas mamon. You're not allowed to do, oh no, when I say cheating, cheating is not quite the right explanation. Cheat, it's really don't overcharge or undercharge. If you're a buyer, don't try and get it too cheap. If you're a seller, don't try and get it too dear. It's a very complicated inyan of onor. If you go into business, when you start leaving yeshiva and you start doing a business, before you start a business, you have to learn certain halachas of ribis, and you've got to learn the halachas of bnei sadas, which you should already be learning about. But you've also got to know exactly what is onor, how much you can charge, what you can add on to the price. Obviously, you've got overheads. There's all sorts of complicated dinim as to when onor applies and when it doesn't apply. It's very, very tricky exactly how to do it. But that's onoras mamon. Undercharging and overcharging, that's how it is. How does Rashi know that that posuk is talking about mamon? We said before in the case of a geir, lo sonu v'lo silchatsenu, onor means devarim, lo silchatsenu means mammon. And yet here's Rashi telling us that this one means mammon. But just so before the lotonu meant devarim. Let's go further. There's another pasuk in Behar, chapter Chofei Pasuk Yud Zayin, a little bit further on. V'lo sonu ish es amiso v'yoreso me'alokecho. Don't go around doing enor with your friend. You must be afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't do the wrong thing. Zot Rashi, kan hizhir aloinoas dvorim, shlo yaknit v'lo yasieno eitzo she'eno hagenes lo lefi darko v'hanoso shel yoetz. Don't give the guy advice which is hurtful, because he'll end up doing something which you want him to do for you, but it's bad for him, because that's also a form of onoas dvorim. How did Rashi know that the second one was onoas devorim, and the first one was onoas mamon? Maybe it's faket, maybe it's the other way around. What are you going to tell me? It's more serious to cheat somebody from his money? Maybe not. Maybe it's more serious to hurt a person's feelings than to cheat him with money. After all, money's only money, but to hurt a person's feelings, boy, that can be serious. So how did Rashi know it was that way around? Again, in the case of a ger, it says lo sonu. In all cases, that means onoas onoas devorim. I beg your pardon. In the case of Yisrael, it says al toinu, referring to mamon, and lo sonu, referring to onoas devorim. What's going on here? Well, there's one immediate difference which you can soon see straight away from the pasuk. The second pasuk, which I quoted, finishes off with yoreso me'elokecho. The first pasuk doesn't say that. If the pasuk says v'yoreso me'elokecho, that means it's something you've got to worry about HaKadosh Baruch Hu rather than you yourself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's going to tell. Now, when it's a question of undercharging or overcharging, the guy goes away, tells his friends, how much did you pay for that item? You silly fellow, you paid far too much. So it's misbarred. You don't have to worry about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Someone's going to find out eventually. So it doesn't need to tell us for your reis omel kecho. You'll be afraid of your friends. They'll find out. Mashein keno noas devorim. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can tell what your kavana is. Because if I were to say to one of you, put your hands up and say, oh, what a stupid question that is. That may be onoas devorim, we'll see in a second, because I've hurt your feelings, but it may not be onoas devorim. I might just be simply saying to you, you're a Talmud shouldn't say stupid things. And that's permissible. Sometimes it is permissible to goad a Talmud in order to make him better. If he's the cleverest boy in the class, and I call him stupid, that's fantastic for the boy, because it brings his Gaiva down. And that might not be onoas devorim. I'm not really hurting his feelings. I might be hurting his feelings, but that's the Torah. But How do we, anybody know what my kavana was? Maybe I'm just doing that because I want to be nasty. So therefore, the only one who can tell what that kavana is, the Yoreisom Elokecho. So Rashi knew that then when it comes to Anos Devorim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who makes the test. Let me just explain something in the case of Yoreisom Elokecho when it comes to dealing properly. It's not directly to do with Ono, but it's a beautiful story. Maybe I even said it before. But if you have heard it, it's worth hearing it again. And if you haven't heard it, it's worth hearing. They once did in a place called Cholon. I've heard the story before. In Cholon, they decided to do a witch test. Now, anybody know what witch is? In England, there's a paper called Witch, which determines whether people are behaving properly and what's the best product, etc. Have you got that in Eretz Yisrael or in America? It's called Witch in English. It's a proper publication. And they go out and check. Sorry?
Witch trial.
Not witch, not W-I-T-C-H. W-H-I-C-H. Witch. Now, they decided that there was a lot of crookery going on in Cholon. And that what they decided to do is we're going to try and do a test on electricians in Cholon. Chashmalaim, yeah, the chashmal. So what they decided to do, this company who makes these sort of public tests, they got them together and they got hold of an almona who didn't have very much money in a small apartment. They went into her apartment, they flicked up the fuse which controlled the toaster, and then they said, you must call in an electrician to check what's wrong with the electricity. They put television cameras all around in the other rooms, looking at this room, and then the woman then calls the first electrician. The first electrician comes along, goes and has a look, he sees immediately what's happened, that the fuse is just, somebody tripped the fuse. But he comes back to him and says, the whole of your house needs rewiring. It'll cost you 2,500 shekalim. I don't know why Davka 2,500 shekalim, if it had been America, it would have been dollars, if in England, it would have been pounds. But that's how much it was that they wanted to charge. To redo all the wiring in the house, because the guy who came before was a cowboy, and the wiring is completely kaput, and all needs redoing. The woman said, I ain't got 2,500 shekalim, I'm a poor lady. I can't afford it. I'll tell you what, he says, I'll do it for you at a cheap price of 1,800 shekalim. I can't do it less than that, because I'm losing on it already. I can't make ends meet if I'm going to do it so cheaply less than that. That's the bottom price. So the woman says to him, okay, go away, I'll think about it. I can't really afford it, I'll think about it. Off he goes. All this is being captured on the television cameras. The second guy comes along, the same story, it's slightly different. This needs doing, that needs doing. The price was instead of 2,500, 2,600, and instead of 1,800, but more or less the same story. So they're catching these electricians one after the other. Eventually, I don't know how many they went through, but I think it was the third one, I think. There was a chashmalai in Cholan, whose name was Chastan. I don't know him personally. This is what was quoted. This guy turns up, has a look, sees the fuse is just tripped, slips, puts the fuse back, says, hey, everything's fine, your electricity is no problem, your toaster's working now, that's it. How much do I have to pay you? Well, it really is a call-out charge. My normal call-out charge is 25 shekalim for call. I can't come for you for nothing. But since I've done so little, and you're such an almona, so I'll tell you what, just give me my expenses, give me 10 shekalim, and we'll call it a day. All of a sudden, one of the guys outside is so impressed, they don't let on anything yet. He comes in to see the lady, and he wants to speak to this man. They're not telling him that he's part of witch, or part of the thing. He says to the man, tell me, you could have ripped this woman off by asking for 2,500 shekalim to do the whole of the wiring, doing everything. Why didn't you do it? I don't understand your mentality. Why is it you did what you did? Why didn't you try and get more out of the woman? She's helpless. She would have paid whatever you needed to. He says, what? I'm on TV. Don't you know I'm on TV? I'm on TV? What do you mean? What do you mean you're on TV? How do you know you're on TV? He said, the Ribbono Shel Olam is looking at me from up there. I'm on the Ribbono Shel Olam's TV. I can't do anything wrong. If I cheat, I'm going to be recorded. It's going to go down on my on my report in heaven. I'm on TV, I told you. I can't do anything wrong. And I'll tell you something else he said. It's not worth me doing anything wrong. Because we believe that Pardosa Shel Odom is Ketsuvo Me Rosh Hashanah Vad Rosh Hashanah. So I'm going to get the same amount of profit this year, whichever way it is. Why should I do it? But Derech Ramos, why should I cheat this poor woman and get more out of it when I can get do it honestly? And then I'll get Ono Babo as well as Ono Baza. Why should I cheat it? So then he said, turns around and said, yes, but you didn't even charge him your basic 25 shekel for your call-out charge. He said, but listen, I have to do chesed. What better chesed is there to do with this poor woman who's been called out for nothing and had very little to do? I'll take my expenses, but I can do a chesed with a woman and give her a bit more. They were so impressed. The Kiddush Hashem was noir over Oyam in Cholan. It went in all the papers. Well, then all the TV cameras came out. They came out and they said to him, what's your name? He said, my name is Chasdan. They said to him, Kishmo Kenato, your name is Chasdan and you deserve the name because you have done the Richtige Chesed. Now, that's what I'm trying to explain to you. The Yoresom Elokech is, yes, you could have cheated the woman. You think you're going to get away with it, but you don't get away with it because you're on the Ribono Shel Olam's TV circuit. You watched whatever you do. That's why V'yoreis Elokecha, and that's why one's going to be particularly careful, even when you can get away with it. Now, that's how Rashi knew that this was an Onas Devarim. But there's another clue to it. I said to you before that the psukim in the case of the Geir were all low. In the case of the Yisrael, the one here is low, but the other one about his mom is Al. Why does it say Al Turner in one place, and all the other places it says low? Who knows the difference between low and Al? Anybody know the difference between the word low and the different Al, or is it all one thing? You think there's a difference, or it's all one thing? If the Torah puts sometimes low and sometimes Al, there must be a difference. The Ksav Kabbalah has a tremendous arichus and a beautiful explanation. He says like this: Loi is loi mit an aleph. That means loi is loshen muchlet. It may never happen. You may never do it. Al, however, is it ought not to be done, but there may be an occasion when it can be. At the moment, it shouldn't be done, but there may be occasions where it can be done. And it brings a beautiful proof from the Maisa of Shlomo and the lady who had the two ladies who had a child, one dead and one alive. You all know the Maisa, yeah? You all know that Maisa. You don't know the Maisa? Yeah, what, no, I don't see any nodding. Somebody's nodding over there. You don't know? Well, if you don't know that Maisa, you know the Maisa of the guy with the two mothers-in-law. That you must know, surely. The story, the joke with the two mothers-in-law. You don't know that one? What's that? Well, once, so that's a richtige mother-in-law. Yeah, you know that joke? Yeah, you know that joke. Okay. So that's the story I'm talking about. Listen, some people over here don't seem to know the joke. You tell it afterwards, will you? Yeah? Okay. So now, the two babies, one was alive and one was a dead one. So Shlomo said, I'm going to cut the live one in half and give half to each of you. So the real mother came to Shlomo and says, please, Al, to Mr. Chadotcha, don't do it. Shlomo replied, ah, that's the Richtige mother, because she's prepared to give her child to somebody else rather than to see him die. Loi to Maseu, don't kill him. Why did she say Al, but he said Lo? Says the Ksav HaKabbalah. She said Al because it wasn't in her power to stop it. She prayed, hoped, please don't let it happen. But she couldn't be certain. She thought Shlomo was going to actually cut the child in half. So she says, Al, don't do it. Shlomo, however, who has the ultimate power to decide what to do, says, Lo, you must not do it. It cannot be done. You find it again and again through Chumash. If you wanted to take, I think, one more example. In the case of the tearing the garments of the Kohen, it says, in one place it says, in the case of the Kohen Gadol, it says the Kohen Gadol in Emor, it says Begod of Los Sifromova. It says the Rosh Los Sifra. In both cases, it says Lo with the Kohen Gadol. However, in Shmini, when it's talking about Aaron and not of Navihu, it says, have you got a barcode here? It says, the God of Loi Tifroimu. But when it comes to the hair, it says, Al Tifro. Why does it change? What's the difference? And that is beautiful, really beautiful. The answer is this. In the case of a Kohen Gadol, he may never have his hair cut. He may never have his hair grow long. And he may never cut his clothes. However, who are we talking about in Parsha Shmini? Yes, it was Aaron, but not only Aaron. It's talking about Nadav and Avihu and Elazar and Isamar, wasn't it? Or was it Elazar and Isamar? Nadav had died, and it was Elazar and Isamar as well. Now, Elazar and Isamar were Kohen Gadol for the Me'ah Miluim only, after that they became Kohen Hediot. Once they became Kohen Hediot, but God, they still can't tell, you're not allowed to tell them about the big day kahuna. That's Issa. So they're going to be low forever. But their hair, they would be allowed to grow long. Why? Because they're no longer Kohen Gadol. Shteken Torah, Al. Do you get it? Al is not permanent. Since it wasn't a permanent Issa, says Al. However, the Godin, which is a permanent Issa, never allowed to tell the big day kahuna, it's always low. That gives you the geder of low and Al. It seems to be telling us like this. In the case of Onor, I'll never ever be guilty of Onor's Tavon. There's no heter for it. If you are trying to hurt somebody else, no way out. May never be done. However, when it comes to dealing in business and money, it's not so poshut that you can't undercharge. If you are allowed to undercharge and overcharge a little bit, Pochus Mishtus, for example, there's a whole dinim in the Gemara and Bob Matzias, when it's mutter, when it's not mutter. Since it's not muchlet, since there are occasions where you are allowed to, if the shah's gone out, there are occasions where it is permitted to do it, so the possibility says, oh. However, in the case of the ger, you've got to be doubly careful, and therefore it's always low. So now we've got the Hagdorah of the Inyan. In the case of Anoas Devorim, it's never permitted to hurt somebody's feelings. When I say never, V'yoreisim elekecho, except in the circumstances we're going to explain. Now, let's now look at what's included in Anoas Devorim. Now that we know how serious it is and what it represents, let's take examples. Rashi has already told us. It refers to cases where you make the person feel small by shteching, it's called in Yiddish. Or in Hebrew, lidkor. In English, to needle the person, to irritate, needle the guy. That, if you hurt the person's feelings, you call him again. Now, not only again, what happens if the fellow is a Baal Teshuva? And he can be when he was younger, he can do a lot of avodas. You're not going to go around to say you're a pork-eating fresser and that's why you don't get pshat in the Gemara. You can't say that to somebody. You've got to be careful. Or if somebody has a deformity, and in Baruch Hashem the deformity has been repaired with an operation, you can't draw that person's attention by hurting his feelings and say, ah, you peg leg or whatever it was, that it was a problem. You can't do things like that because it's hurtful to the person. By the same token, you can't be mechane shame lechavercha. You can't call somebody porky or fatty or all the things which people unfortunately tend to do. Hamechane shame lechavero ein lo chelik lemapo. You're not allowed to do it. Now, if the person likes the name for himself, then there's a shtickle heter. In my family, for example, there were two Rubies. Uncle Ruby and Uncle Ruby. So how do you know which Uncle Ruby's which? So one was called Big Uncle Ruby, that's fine. But how could we call the other guy Little Uncle Ruby? He's a little chap and then there was a big chap. But the point was, there wasn't big and little. One was big in age and one was little in age. So one was an uncle and one was a nephew. So it wasn't as though gefährlich. But they themselves were happy to be called that. But if they're not happy to be called that, you can't call somebody fatso or whatever name that you dream up. You've got to be very careful. Because it actually can be very, very hurtful. So don't be mechane shame. A person mechane shame, not only is he over the lav d'oraisa v'onas devorim, eilo chelek leon mabo, if you do it on a permanent basis. You mustn't hurt somebody's feelings in any way. Or if their surname it's got some nasty connotation, be very careful how you use it. Somebody's called Mr. Klein. It's not nice to say to someone, oh, du bist der kleine Mensch. You know, you've got to be careful, because it might hurt the person. You know, a person who's dealing in contraband and things, don't call, oh, du bist der schwarze Mensch. You know, you've got to be, if his name is Schwartz, be careful. You know, be careful what you say to people. Okay, right. So you're not allowed, if somebody has done very badly in yeshiva and starts to do teshuva, you can't say to him, oh, what are you playing at? You're a messer. You come from a background. You're not going to achieve anything. You mustn't do it. That's one example of onus devarim, the main example. Do you know something else? There's a famous Gemara in Horius, a really famous Gemara in Horius. What happened was this. Rabban Gamliel was doing things which the other Tanoim were not too pleased with. So they decided they were going to trick him. They were going tomorrow till they learnt Maseches Uktzin, and they said, tomorrow in the Beis HaMedrash, we're going to ask Kashas about Uktzin, where this Rabban Gamliel won't know the answer, and we'll put him to shame, and then we'll show him what is. Thankfully, Rabban Gamliel heard about it, somebody mentioned it to Rabban Gamliel, and he learnt the whole of Uktzin. And when they made their questions the next day, Rabban Gamliel was able to answer them, but he got up and he said to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Noson, because you wanted to hurt my feelings, therefore, from now on, you are going to be called Acherim. Your name is no longer going to be called Yeshomram and Acherim. We're not going to use your name at all. So all the Mephoshim asked, how could Rabbi Meir Noson think of doing such a thing? So there's all sorts of teruksim as to really their kavonos l'shem shemayim, and they were trying to show that he wasn't learning Bekiyas enough, whatever the reason was. But Rabban Gamliel was annoyed with them, and he says, you don't deserve to have your name quoted in your name. You're not allowed to come to Shia with a prepared kasha to upset your Rebbes, and therefore make them feel embarrassed. Even Rabbi Lachlan, even Rabbi Rapport, you're not allowed to go to them with a prepared kasha to trick them in order to embarrass them. Did you know that? Yes, you can ask a kasha during the Gemara, fine. But to come with a specially prepared shaila in a subject which you know they know very little about, I don't know what that might be, they know everything, but Zedek, you can find a topic in which they don't know it properly, you're not allowed to raise that topic in order to trip them up and make them feel small. That's also a noas devarim. Similarly, the Gemara says, when a person's giving a shir in one mesechta, don't ask him in a different mesechta. Unless he's Rab Chaim, if he's Rab Chaim, it's a different matter. Rab Chaim Kanievsky, you can ask him in Kol HaTorah Kul. But if you know that the person is just an ordinary mensch, like me, you come and ask me a question, I'm talking about Noas Devarim, don't ask me a question in Hilchos Shchita or something like that, because I'm not in the subject at the moment, and it could embarrass the person. Don't try to embarrass somebody. Boys in yeshiva love to do that sort of thing, but you've got to be careful not to do it if it's going to embarrass the Rebbe. Another one. If you've got, I'll give you another example. Let's say there's a group of people, a group of mothers, and they've all got children, and there's one mother who can't have children, hasn't got any children. It's also to start a conversation with those mothers talking about their kids. Why? Because the one mother who hasn't got kids is going to be very, very pained. You've got to be careful. If you've got a group of boys, all very, very good at a particular topic, and there's one boy coming from the outside who doesn't know anything about it, don't start a conversation about that topic, whatever it might be. Whatever the subject, now, what's the subject moment? Is it football? I better not say. Sorry? Gemara. But if the particular Gemara and the other boy is not in the struggle to learn Gemara, he can only learn Gemara with art scholar or whatever it is, then you don't start a whole. I'll tell you, Meister Shoya. I was brought up in a place called Sunderland, not far from where he was born in Gateshead, not far away. Now, Rabbi Babad Zichron and Levroch was a big Talmud Chacham. He was the Rav of the community of Belza Chosid. He was actually became the chairman of the European Aguda. He was a very, very choshev mensch. And we sometimes used to go for lunch to Rabbi Babad on Shabbos. And we sang Zmiris. And it was minig to say some Divrei Torah. On one Shabbos, he says, we're not having any Divrei Torah. So truth before, no Divrei Torah today. Why? Are we in a rush today? Is it somebody? No. Afterwards, we understood. That the guy sitting at the table, we always had an Oirech, we always had one Oirech who was collecting on the Shabbos. The guy sitting at the table, although he had a big beard, etc., he was a big Amoritz, and he didn't know. And it would have been embarrassing if they were said Divrei Torah in front of this Amoritz, because he couldn't say any Divrei Torah, he wouldn't have known what's going on. He wouldn't let us say Divrei Torah so as not to embarrass that particular man. Ad kedei kach. That's how far Rabbi Bad was prepared to go in order to protect this particular person. How many times are we nizer about talking between ourselves, Divrei Torah, etc., when somebody there just doesn't understand? He's like, stands there like a glomp, a golem. You've got to be careful to think of the chashivas of everybody. Be careful that you should take into account other people's sensitivities. So you're not allowed to raise anything hurtful. Let me tell you a couple of ma'asim. You always like a good ma'asim. Once upon a time, Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin, he was not actually allowed to have salt. For some reason, our people are not allowed too much salt. The shamash came and brought tea on the table, and the shamash unfortunately mixed the sugar up with the salt. Instead of putting sugar in the tea, put salt in the tea. You know this ma'asa? Rabbi Yeshua Leib sat there, there were people present, and he drank the whole cup as if he was enjoying it. A cup of tea with salt in, which he was not allowed to have because of medical reasons. He drank the whole cup. Afterwards, do you know what happened? The shamash found out, he saw in the kitchen, that he'd mixed the sugar and the salt up. He realized. He goes, Rebbe, I've given you, shouldn't I? He says, no, I enjoyed it, it was very nice. Why? He says, I couldn't point out to you in front of all these people what you made such a mistake. Can you imagine how embarrassing it would have been for you if I'd said that? Ad kedei kach. This is where the gedolim go to. In order not to hurt somebody else's feelings, they're prepared to suffer themselves and drink. How many times have you drunk a cup of tea full of salt and enjoyed it? And pretended that you enjoyed it? You'd say, my wife, why did you bring me this rotten tea? Go get me a decent cup of tea. That's what you would say to a wife. But you mustn't. You've got to be careful to have proper respect for, not to in any way hurt the feelings of somebody else. Now, let me just make sure I get most of the subjects. We're running out of time. I'll tell you the main points. It applies even to a kohen. Just because he's a child doesn't mean to say you can't be guilty of onor with a child. That everybody knows the famous mice of the stipler. Once upon a time, the stipler turned up at the bar mitzvah of a little boy. He never wasted his time on bar mitzvahs. On this occasion, he came to the bar mitzvah of the boy. Everyone went, what's the father done? The father must be a zach choshev a yid, that the stipler's taken time off to come wish the boy bar mitzvah. So they asked the stipler, why have you come? Very simple. This boy was 8 years old, or was about nine years old, and the stipler went up to him in shul and said to the boy, boy, how dare you learn Gemara during tefillah times? During the tefillah times, you've got to concentrate on your tefillah. You shouldn't be learning during tefillah times. So the boy says, I'm not learning. I'm davening, Rebbe. I'm davening. So the stipler looked. He'd seen a big safe. He thought it was a Gemara. But he saw that the boy had a big siddur. Oh, said the stipler, I'm so sorry. I understood. I mistook this. I thought you were learning Gemara. Tell me, when's your birthday? How old are you? He wrote down on a piece of paper the boy's birthday and when he and how old he was. The boy had no idea why he was asking him this, but the stipler wrote it down because he said, look, I can't ask mechila from a cotton. A cotton can't give mechila. He's too young. I have to wait till his bar mitzvah. And at his bar mitzvah, I'm going to go along there and ask him mechila for having hurt his feelings. So from here you see that even a cotton, if you've hurt the feelings of a cotton, you have to make a note of it, and then when the cotton grows up, you've got to go and ask Mechila if you want to do the job properly. That goes ad kedei kach. Now, I'm going to tell you a most remarkable Yoreim. You know who the Yoreim is? Anybody know who wrote the Yoreim? Any Frenchies here? No? All right. It was written by Rabbi Eliezer of Metz. Metz is a town not far away from Strasbourg. And Rabbi Eliezer of Metz was a Rishon, a great Rishon, who wrote the Sefer on the Tariag Mitzvahs called the Yoreim. It's a well-known and well-accepted Sefer, and if you don't know what it's about, you can ask your Rebbe to show it to you and to learn about it. In the Yoreim, in the Charag mitzvahs, one of the mitzvahs he talks about is Oinoas Devorim. And in the mitzvah of Oinoas Devorim, he says, you should know it's forbidden to go and look miserable. You're not allowed to have a miserable face. That's a chelik of Oinoas. Why? Because if you've got a miserable face, you make other people miserable. And making other people miserable is a chelik of Oinoas Devorim. Can you imagine a Rishon is saying that if you go around looking like a misery guts, you're going to make other people unhappy, and therefore you've been transgressed this Avera. Can you imagine? There's a famous story that once in Elul, there was a guy walking around looking miserable. And Rabbi Shlomo Salanter went up to the boy and says, why are you so miserable? Have you lost a lot of money? Has something happened? Have you had an umgek in the family? Is your health not right? Please explain. I'd like to help. I'd like to pray for you. He says, Nein, Rebbe. Rebbe, you must know it's Elul. And Rosh Hashanah is coming soon. And I'm terribly worried about my Averus. And maybe when Rosh Hashanah will come, I'll be in trouble. So I'm miserable about my Averus. He said, weil du hast Averus, muss ich leiden? Anybody understand Yiddish? While you have Averus, do I have to suffer because of your Averus? You're not allowed to look like that. You must look happy. Yes, you can have your misery inside you. You've got to withhold all your internal feelings, but don't show them out to the public in the wrong place. If you look at any of the Gedolim, you see a serenity in their face. You see a certain hadras ponim at all times. That's what it means. I'm not saying that if you're in a beis or oval that you've got to go around laughing your head off. That's also a Oinoas Devorim. That's silly. There's a time and place for everything. But it means you've got to think what the circumstances demand. If you are in a time where everybody's under stress, okay, it would be wrong for you to be flippant and be silly about things. But if you're in a situation where you're just walking down the street and somebody gives you shalom and you give them a real growl and misery looking, it makes everybody unhappy. Says the Yoreim, that is a chelek of Oinoas Devorim. You've got to be so careful about it. On the other hand, as I said to you before, if the reason why I say something sharp to a boy who's falling asleep or is irritating or is doing something which is disturbing, and the boy ought to know better, and I know that by saying that sharply to that boy, it'll be madrich him to go in the right way, then that's permitted, because I'm not doing it in order to hurt the boy, chas v'shalom. I'm trying to get everybody else to realize this is not the way to behave. So in that case, that's education, but you've got to be very careful not to go beyond that stage. There's a story of the Rogachev, a Rebbe. Once a guy came to have a chasna with one of the Rogachev's Talmidim. And he came to and the Rogachev was giving shir. And all of a sudden he hears the Rogachev shouting at the guy, "Du bist a buck! You're a stupid cow," he said to the boy. "Oh, you're only giving such stupid answers, a cow." So the man says, "Listen, I didn't want my daughter to get married to a buck. I didn't want my daughter, I'm going home." So the father says, "I'm cancelling the shidduch." And after he was going, so he goes to the secretary and says, "I'm going home, tell the Rogachev I'm not staying here a minute longer." So he said, "No, calm down, you're here already, you've got to speak to the Rebbe, don't run off, let's talk to him." "All right, I'll wait till the Rebbe's finished the shir." The Rebbe finishes the shir, the man comes up and says, "Shalom Aleichem, Rebbe, but the shidduch is off, I'm not interested." "What do you mean the shidduch is off?" "I'll tell you why, you yourself said the guy was a cow and a buck." So I said, "What are you talking about?" The Rogachev says to him, "I didn't say he was a buck. I didn't say it was an ordinary buck. Das ist der Rogachev's buck. Das du wissen, a Rogachev's buck is something exceptional. That's something completely different. That's not a buck. That's not a cow, not an ox, or whatever a buck is. This is something superior quality. You don't think I'd record anybody that? It's only the best boy in the class who's going to get that sort of term. To the worst boy in the class, I'd be very careful what I said to him. Because the worst boy's going to feel it. If I say something nasty to who's the worst boy in this place? say something nasty to him, then it'll hurt. But the best boy, that's an Andromeisa. So you've got to be careful to understand. It's all words with your resum elokecho. You've got to make sure that Hashem Yisborach knows what your kavana really is. Is your kavana really l'shem shemayim or not? Let me finish off with just one other mice in the Gemara that you should know. A person who hurts somebody's feelings is doing a very dangerous thing to himself too. It's a very dangerous thing to do. Quite apart from a lav d'oraisa, if you eat pork, you're doing something bad for you in the Shama. Yes, you'll get your punishment. All right, it comes Yom Kippur, you might be able to ask for forgiveness. But a person who hurts somebody else's feelings by saying something nasty to them, by shteching them, or playing a practical joke. I always said, you know, we used to have a special joke. A boy was about to sit down, they pulled the chair away, the boy fell on the ground. Ha 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 ha! How funny it is to look at that guy banging himself on the ground. Quite apart from the fact that it's a mazik and he might hurt himself badly, quite apart from that, you've done a lav d'oraisa. You might have a good laugh at the guy, but it's a lav d'oraisa. Similarly, putting white flour on the entrance to the door, so when you open the door, the flour falls down on the fellow, and it's all covered in white, and you have a good laugh at him. That's a goyish thing to do, but that's a lav d'oraisa. So don't do it, because you're making fun of somebody. All right, Purim might be different if he's masking to it. But, you know, every case has got to be yoreisom elokecha. Are you doing it for Purim, or are you doing it to hurt that guy? That's only a Kodesh Baruch Hu can tell. But let me tell you what I meant to say. You've got to understand that if you hurt somebody else's feeling, you're playing with fire and you're damaging yourself. There's a famous Gemara in Ksubas. The Gemara in Ksubas says the following. Once upon a time, there was a man who had a wife who was happy for him to go and learn all year, and he only came back every Erev Yom Kippur, he spent Erev Yom Kippur till after Sukkot with his wife. And the wife was masking to that. One day, he was sitting on the wall in the Beis HaMedrash, and he was fatifed in a sugya. And time got later and later, and his wife was at home. And his wife was waiting for him. Oh, hash to osi, he's about to come any minute, he's going to be home for Yom Kippur, and then we'll have Yom Tov together, I haven't seen him for so long. But the guy was so phenomenal with his Gemara, it got later and later. And then she realized it's going to be too late for him to come back, and tears came down from her. She started crying. The moment that those tears came down, says the Gemara, do you know what happened? Who knows the Gemara in Ksubas? What? The roof fell down and crushed him and he died. Why? Because he caused his wife to have tears. That was, even though he didn't chas v'sholem intend anything to happen, that's still a form of onoas devorim, it's a form of ono, and as a result of that his wife died. How did that make anything better for his wife? Punishing him, fine, give him a punishment by killing him. How has that made his wife better? How has it made any difference? The answer is, one, the consequences of onoras devorim are not simply a punishment. They are a consequence. Let me give you a point. Let's say you're a person who's, you're told not to go near the gas ring. You break the rules and you decide to put your hand on the gas ring. You're stupid, you put your hand on the gas ring. What's going to happen? Your hand's going to get burnt. Are you going to tell me that's a punishment? Or are you going to tell me that's a consequence? By putting your hand on the gas ring, you don't have to worry about punishment. It's going to get burnt because that's the consequence of doing it. Nothing to do with punishment. That's the result. You should know from that Gemara, the Meforshim Bale Musa learn out, that if you hurt somebody's feelings, even your wife or your child or a close friend, you shtech them in some way, there will be an automatic consequence. And the consequence will not be pleasant. It's not an einish. Initially, you'll get side to side for the love and for everything else, but there will be a consequence. You're not going to get away with it. You shtech and hurt somebody else, all you're doing is shteching and hurting yourself. Somehow or other, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay that back. Whether you intend it or you don't intend it, the man didn't intend to hurt his wife. Chas v'sholem was the last thing in his mind. Just as the person who put his hand on the gas didn't intend to get his hand burnt, but that was the consequence of what you do. So, in Kibbutzer, let's finish off by saying, be careful how you approach each other. You know the famous Gemara of Rabbi Kiva, Shalom Nohagu covered Zeh Bezeh. It's all part of it. You have to have covered for each other, covered for your parents, covered for your children when you have children, covered for each other. Because anybody who uses any form of the Yiddish, the best word is this, a shtech, to hurt somebody's feelings, to get at them, to say something, do something nasty, is playing with fire, is causing damage to happen. And at the same time, we should know that a person who goes out of his way to avoid this is mekayim alav. You can be mekayim alav just by, like lo tirtzach, you're not allowed to kill anybody. By not killing somebody, that means by doing positive to extend life, you're mekayim the alav. Here also, whatever you do in order to help other people, to be nice and friendly and good, you're mekayim the alav of lo sonu. I hope, and it's Hashem, this little talk will help to make relations better, create more shalom in the world, more achdus, and you'll realize that by doing what you're supposed to do this way, you'll all have a much better relationship with everybody, and Hashem should be zoche to the Bias Kol Tzedek, which will be caused by chesed and shalom between Klal Yisrael, and everything will be and then Kosh Boch will be prepared to reward us accordingly. Amen.